Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
I'd like for us to examine our hearts and think about the assemblies. I realize that there are things that arise over which we have no control that interfere with our being in the assemblies. But I believe this is a good time for us to think about the meaning and the value of assemblies and our attitude toward them. And I take into consideration the fact that when you're sick, you cannot come. It may be that your job interferes from time to time. There may be some other things that are over which you have no control that makes it impossible for you to be in the assemblies. But aside from that, I'd like for all of us to examine our hearts and see how we look at the assemblies and how we think about them. In order to impress this upon our minds, I'm going to the Old Testament and one of the Psalms. I doubt if I'll have time to talk about all this morning. If not, then I'll finish it up tonight. But this psalm tells us something about the value and the place of assemblies. Verse 17 of Psalm 73 said, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God." There's something he didn't understand that he learned when he came into the assembly. I'm afraid that sometimes we have the idea that God has ordained that we assemble just because that He's bigger than we are and that we do it only because God has demanded it. That's not true. God arranged assemblies because they have a benefit for us. They're intended, of course, in order that we might glorify God. But it is to meet an inner need, provide some things that we need that we're not going to find anywhere else. As an example, the word church means the called out. Suppose now that we had every member of the church here in Gadsden. No buildings, no assemblies, just the people living individually, apart from each other every day. Never a time and arrangement in order for a Christian to be together. What do you think that would do? To me individually? Do to the church as a whole? If the church never assembled. Therefore, we should think about the church and the assemblies of the church. In fact, the word church itself means the called out, and it's sometimes used in reference to an assembly. Not always, I believe three times it's used in reference to people that were not even Christian, but simply a gathering together, an assembly. But what about the assemblies? What are their values? What do they provide for us? Psalm 73, I think, will help us see some things. Look at it. Verse 1 said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." How long would it take us to forget about God's goodness if we never assembled? Have you ever thought about that? Our assemblies remind us of how good God is. The very songs that we sing, the very prayers that we send up to the throne of God, the Lord's table, the study of His Word, the giving of our means is in response to God's goodness. And therefore, when we fail to appreciate the assemblies, day by day we drift away from a recognition and appreciation of God's goodness. The psalmist announced that in the very beginning of this psalm. But then note again in the second verse, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." How easy it is for us through the week to lose our spiritual bearing. the pressure of the world, the atmosphere of the day in which we live, can have a tremendous bearing and impact upon our thinking and upon our attitudes. It can place us in the frame of mind where material things become more important than anything else. We lose sight of what life's all about. We lose our perspective and fail to realize that man does not live by bread alone. And therefore, when these things build up and consume our time, a vacuum develops on the inside, a hunger that cannot be satisfied with anything else. And if we absent ourselves from the assembly, that hunger will only continue to grow. And we'll continue to slip into slip. The less we value the assemblies, and the less we use them when we have opportunities to assemble, the further we drift away from God and things that are spiritual. Now, if you don't believe that, find the people that assemble regularly and then watch them as they begin to miss on Wednesday night. And then they begin to miss on Sunday night. Now, what's happened? It's not just that they're missing assemblies. Something's happened on the inside. Something's happened to their spiritual life. And just like the psalmist said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." And that's what happened. Slipping. 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 Most of the people that finally cease to serve the Lord begin by their feet slipping. And they miss Wednesday night, and then they miss Sunday night. And then they'll gradually miss on Sunday morning. And then they'll miss more on Sunday morning. And then their attendance will become further and further apart. Until finally you look around and say, "Where are they? What's happened?" A failure to realize the value and the place and the importance of assemblies in our life has allowed people to gradually drift and drift and drift. And they're back in the world, lost, separated from God. A terrible condition for one to be in. But not only that, look at verse 3. "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." The assemblies help us with our attitudes. Envy is a dangerous attitude and a destructive attitude. We see what others have materially, and it begins to gnaw at us and say, "Why do they have all of that and I don't have it?" And all of that is destructive to our well-being, to our happiness. We don't stop to consider. Life is not made up of just material things. And it's only it's by coming into the assembly that we have to get our perspective back. And coming into the assembly, I learned that life is just not material things. It's not just houses and lands and clothes. It's more than that. I learned that there's something on the inside that this doesn't feed. And when I allow the wrong kind of attitudes, and envy is just one of them, when I allow the wrong kind of attitudes to grow, and they'll grow, it won't stop. It'll just continue to grow and grow, and finally, unless something done about it, it'll consume me. What is the cure for that? One of the cures for that is to appreciate the assemblies, where the very coming into the assembly is a reminder of the importance of attitudes. Because without right attitudes, we can't worship God. And without our gathering in the assembly in the very presence of God, or remind us of the importance of humility, it leads to the searching of our hearts. looking at our inward life and our inward attitudes that are out of harmony with the Bible and causes us to seek to change them. But then again, in verses 4 to 9, the assemblies help me better understand the events that are taking place. Look at it. "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak lawfully. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth." How often do we look at people round about us that are wicked and sinful and give no thought to God and see how they enjoy the things of this life? And that begins to affect us. And we say, well, what's the use? Why should I serve God? Why should I go to the trouble to read my Bible and then to work and strive to build within me the right kind of attitude, to be interested in others and care and concern for others, when out here somebody that just live for themselves all the time and look at all that they're enjoying. Look at what they have. Look at how they're getting along. I'm not as well off as they are. The assemblies will cure that. And God knows, God knew that when we looked at what's taking place round about us and how people are proud and how they often they don't have the trials even that Christians have, that there's a tendency for us to forget about some things and lead us to be envious of what they're enjoying. But then, look at verse 10 now. Notice what verse 10 says. "Therefore his people return hither, and waters are a full cup are wrung out of there." There it is. How often do we find ourselves in need of sympathy because of our suffering? How often as we go through the week are our hearts made heavy, and the burdens and the cares that bear down upon us are a load that we have difficulty in carrying? Sometimes they seem to be more than we can handle. The value of an assembly when the heart's suffering and the load's heavy, to feel the hand of one that cares and one that understands, to know that here is one that feels and sympathizes. Here's one that's willing to help me bear my load and my burden. Here's one that does not forget about my needs. You think that does not bring back courage to the heart and revive the soul? Think about the burdened, lonely hearts that are living in the world today. And they're living among people that do not care. People that have no concern. That only adds to their load. How often does the heart long for just a word of encouragement? Just something said. Or maybe just the look of an eye and a sympathetic tear. And all of that helps to revive the heart. That comes in the assembly. God knew our needs. And He knew when thou those who have common aims and common ideals and common aspirations, they have common cares and common loads, that as they come together in the assembly, hearts are in tune. The joys and the sorrows of life are made known. Think about it this morning. Announcement was made of a little baby that's seriously ill. That baby was included in the prayer. Don't you know that does something for the heart? Doesn't that give strength to the family? Wouldn't they have missed something this morning if that hadn't been a part of their service? That's what assemblies are all about. Of course, first, they're to glorify God. But we glorify God because these assemblies provide this in our lives. They meet our needs. But then again, look at verse 11. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? There are dangers round about us everywhere. There are those that make light of God, who reject Him, who despise Him. And they don't mind letting us know that. Many times in the places where we work, that's the atmosphere that surrounds our very lives. To be a Christian, to believe in God, to love His Word, to live for the better things of life is to be laughed at and mocked by people who have no appreciation of that. Now, you live all the week in that kind of atmosphere, and that'll affect you. It'll get to you. But then you come into an assembly where there are people that are not like that. There are people that are living for the same thing that you're living for. There are people that love the same things that you love. There are people that have the same ideals that you have. There are people that have the same deep longings in the heart that are thirsting after God and long for His fellowship and for His love. You mean to tell me that that doesn't do something for you? Surely it does. Think about what the one misses. That misses the assembly. And has had all the pressures of the world throughout the week to draw them away from God, to lead them to deny God and try to get them to despise God. But now then, coming into the assembly, there's something to give encouragement and something to help. Then drop down to verse 13, and again you see the importance of encouragement. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Do you ever feel like, as you struggle in living the Christian life and as you face your weaknesses and your frailties and say, well, what's the use? Are there ever days in your life when you feel like just throwing in the towel and giving up? Have you ever felt that way? I have. There have been days that I thought, well, what's the use in preaching anymore? I don't seem to be doing any good. It doesn't seem to be effective. And therefore, what's it all about? Why should I continue to study and work and teach when, as far as I can see, it doesn't seem to be accomplishing any good? Have you ever felt that way? I'm sure all of us have. But when I felt that way and come into an assembly and been with those that love the Bible, those that appreciate it, and when the service is over, to have somebody stand at the door, as I stand at the door, to say, that lesson helped me today. That's something that I needed. And it changed my perspective. It helped me realize that preaching, after all, is not in vain. I'm doing good that I didn't realize that I was doing. And that gives me new courage, gives me new heart. And so it is with all of us. There are things, I'm sure, that as we face our weaknesses and our frailties, and strive to overcome them. For example, our tongue. And I resolve that I'm not going to be hard or harsh or cruel or unkind. And then there comes the day when, not feeling good this morning, little on the ill side, got up on the wrong side of the bed, first thing you know, my tongue slipped on me like that. And I said, well, I said I wasn't going to do that anymore. And here I am doing that. Will I ever get to the place where I'll quit? I've tried and tried and tried, and it just keeps happening. You feel like you say, well, what's the use? I'm not making any progress. I'll just turn it loose and let it go. And then to come into the assembly and to sing the songs and to use the tongue to glorify God and to speak to others and to find the encouragement that comes from others. I'm ready to leave and then to say, well, I slipped that time. But I believe there's hope. I believe there's help. And I'm going to keep on trying. I'm going to keep on working at it. I believe I can do better. And because I've been in the assembly, I believe that God will help me. And I'll pray more. And work harder. And think more. And read my Bible more. And let it fill my mind and my heart until it overflows. And through this means, some way, by God's help, I'll be able to handle the problem. Isn't it sad that there are people today, members of the church, living discouraged, downhearted, and they're not in an assembly? They don't know what they're missing. They don't realize what assembly is all about. They're robbing themselves of the opportunity to find encouragement instead of discouragement. To find help and strength that they need. But it's not there where they are. And they're only robbing themselves. And that's truly a sad thing for people to face a situation like that. But then, look at verse 15, the one I read in the beginning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. How many times in life are we faced with questions that we search for answers, and they're not there? Do you ever have questions to come up? Problems to develop? Trials to come across your life? And you ask the question, why? Why? Only to hear the resounding silence. No answer. And the effect that has. How it presses down upon us. And we reach out for something and nothing's there. We feel so alone. We feel so helpless. And then come into the assembly. One of the very essential ingredients of an assembly is faith. The Bible is read. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Prayers ascend up to the throne of God, and James said that prayer must be in faith, James 1. And when the prayer is being led in order for my heart to commune with God, trust and faith in God is essential. And as faith in the assembly and the singing of the song, the study of the Word, the meeting around the Lord's table, all of these strengthen faith. And as faith is strengthened in the heart, then I'm able to say, I may not know the answer, But I believe God. And I know that He does all things well. And I'm going to live so that my life will be in the hollow of His hand and beneath the shadow of His wing. And like Job, I'll say, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Job 13. And that brings a soothing effect upon the heart to realize that I don't have all the answers. I may not be able to understand all the things that are taking place. But if I live and love and serve God, I believe that things will be well. It doesn't mean there may not be any suffering. It does not mean that I'll be able to have a solution to every problem that I may be confronted with, or even this one. But it does mean, as I hold on to the hand of God by faith, and I see Him who is invisible, the Creator of the universe, the Maker of man, and realize the One that's done all of this is my Father, then I know that if I live and serve Him, things will work out. That's what the assembly can provide. Think of people today who are confused and are asking why, and they're not in an assembly. And they don't have the opportunity, have robbed themselves the opportunity for their faith to grow, for their faith to be inspired. I don't mean directly, but I mean through the reading of the Word. Their faith to be enlarged, their faith to be increased. And by that faith to be able to see the invisible God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 said, Moses seeing Him who is invisible. Paul said, describing the trials and the difficulties he was facing in Christians' faith, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he mentions all of them. Come down toward the end of the chapter, he said, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They're seen by faith. And that helps us to deal with unanswered questions and to handle unsolved problems. And that's what the assembly can provide for us. Won't you think about what you've missed? If you have willfully, deliberately and carelessly neglected the assemblies this past year, won't you resolve within your heart today that whenever the church assembles and I'm able to be there, I'm going to be there, because I'm robbing myself of one of life's richest blessings. God designed it for my good and for my need. And I'm going to be there so that I can appropriate and use that for my good and for His glory. Are you here this morning, not a Christian? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to confess Christ as God's Son, and then to bear that old life in baptism as the blood of Christ, which you reach in baptism, cleanses you from all your past sin? Leave here today with a soul unsullied and unstained, because of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ.